When the Lord gave me this sermon series, Choices, immediately I sat down, I had my legal pad, and I like acronyms, so I started writing out Choose, and Habits, Obedience, and Identity, that's C-H-O-I, and C was Consequences. That's just natural. I mean, we're talking about choices, there's consequences to our choices, whether they're good or bad. And the more I prayed about it and I studied consequences, the less I wanted to preach on consequences. So I'm not preaching on consequences. Here's the thing, every sermon I preached on pretty much talks about consequences. And I don't think consequences is a big mystery to anybody. You reap what you sow. You sow good, you reap good. You sow evil, you reap evil. You walk in obedience, you walk in the blessings. You walk in disobedience, you walk under the curses. I mean, it's just, it's not rocket science. It's pretty simple. And so I said, Lord, if it's not consequences, what is it? And he said, it's compassion. It's compassion. He said, of all the times in the church and what we're going through, especially here in America with a pandemic, with racial unrest, with a political upheaval, with all the fake news and all the stuff that just the junk is going on in our country right now and in the church. He said, we need to revisit compassion. So I said, okay, we'll revisit compassion. You want to share, before we even get started, I want you to share your testimony about compassion. You need to come up here and do it because you're like, it's okay. I'll hold you up if you fall. Okay, I'll be the catcher.
And I knew the gifts were real for today. I wanted to move and operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was my heart's greatest desire. For those of you that get saved today, you already got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until I was 47 years old. But I heard about words of knowledge, gifts of prophecy that we could speak into other people's lives, tongues. I know, I mean, my mind, the gifts of healing and of miracles, it just, wow. This is unbelievable that this is available to we ordinary vessels with an extraordinary God. So I just asked the Lord, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Now, I know that sounded kind of, I didn't ask for one gift. I asked for them all. I was kind of greedy about it. I was like, I didn't know they were here all these years, so I got to make up for lost time. I want all the gifts, ladies, all the gifts that you have for me, God. And I want a boldness about me. And I saw things begin to change in my prayer life, okay? And as I was sitting at the piano, Pastor, I know there's people here today. I'm going to get off my subject for a second because they're seeing family transformation. They're seeing people in the baptism waters, and they're going, well, I just feel like that's happening for everybody else, but it's not happening for me. No, it's happening for you. It is happening for you. And I want you to wake up and smell the roses and drink the coffee of the Holy Spirit because, listen, it is happening. Listen, we have not because we ask not. I don't care what's gone on in your life, but it is a new season. In this season of the corona, for the very first prayer that I prayed, I said, Lord, we are not going to strive. We are going to thrive. And I want you to start confessing that over yourself. I know you've been through some difficulties. I've been through some difficulties. Everybody's been through some difficulties, but God is faithful. Okay, so back to Pam and I. We're crazy friends in the Lord. We both got baptized in the Holy Spirit along with Kristen. And we were just walking, praying, believing for God for everything. So the same time I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I started going through menopause. Ick. But anyway, it's part of life, and there I was. And so Pam and I, she heard about this little place in Dallas that they had some natural hormones. And so we went, and we were just visiting about the Lord, but it was kind of like a community thing, and you could hear people's problems. You know, we were sitting there, and someone came up with their x-rays. And I had cancer, and they'd gotten a bad report, and I could tell the man talking to him, he was kind of shaking his head. And I whispered to Pam, and I said, "Do you know one of the things I love most about the Lord?" She was like, "What?" I said, "His compassion." And when she got up to leave, I called her by name. That was the first word of knowledge I had. And I asked her, I said, "Mrs. Brown, may I go and may I pray for you in your car?" Because I never saw her again. But I'm telling you, each of you will encounter people that I will not encounter this week. But the word of the Lord and the healing word of the Lord is in your mouth. And today I encourage you to speak life over yourselves, to speak life over your families, because we are in an unchanging happy. It's good to see you. Unchanging. I'm looking around and I've seen some people that I know have battled COVID, and praise God, you are here. I'm thankful God has healed you. You may be weak in your body sometime, but I'm prophesying strength to your bodies today. For those that are listening that are not here with us, strength your mortal bodies in Jesus' name.
It's okay. It's okay. You can finish if you want. I've challenged her many times to preach, and she said, "Oh, I'm not a preacher." Yeah, right. I get sermons all the time. I'll never forget when she said, when I told her I was called to preach, she said, "Well, listen, if God would have called you, he would have called me." And she said, "He didn't call me to be a preacher," and look at her now. Yeah, you repented. Amen. Okay, so this is like, this is where the Lord led me, and it's about compassion. See, the compassion of the world is different than the compassion that the Bible talks about. The compassion that the Word of God talks about goes beyond sympathy and empathy. "Oh, I'm so sorry that happened. Oh, I'm so sorry that you're going through that." That's the world's compassion. But God's compassion is that, as we'll see with Jesus, is it moves us to do something. Compassion has an action to it. It's attached to it. It's not, "Oh, poor, poor you." It's, "Poor, poor you. How can I help poor, poor you? How can I pray for you? How can I hold you up? How can I come alongside you?" So we're going to talk about that kind of compassion. It's not the world's compassion. It's God's compassion. And he gives us, he tells us who he is in Psalm 145:8. It says, "The Lord is gracious and" what? "Full of compassion. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." So if the Bible defines God as a God of mercy, a God of compassion, then that's who he is. And if we have Jesus, that's who we are. Say, "That's who I am." See, compassion, it moves beyond somebody's heartbreak until it becomes your heartbreak. When they're weeping, you're weeping. When they're going through a trouble and they're going through a time, you are going to go alongside them. That's what the Bible talks about when we talk about having compassion. See, true compassion leads to action. And as we all know, action is a choice. Say, "Action is a choice." So if action is a choice, then compassion is a choice. If it's within you to do something, then you still have a choice whether you're going to do something or not. And sadly, we see many believers that have stepped back from compassion. They've let the world creep in, and they started walking in anger, and they walk in hatred, they walk in judgmentalism. I love what my brother Javier says before he even spoke to you. He said, "You know what, I've been to many churches, and the first thing they do is judge you." He said, "But y'all didn't judge me. Y'all didn't judge me." See, compassion doesn't judge people. Compassion doesn't go, if somebody says, I need something, I need a meal, "Well, you should have got a job. You should have been working. You should have this. You should have that. You shouldn't have been on welfare." And we start judging people without even knowing their situation and start putting them down and judging them. So, "Well, I'm not going to help you." You know, the God only helps those who help themselves. They quote a scripture that's not a scripture. You know? And so I love the fact that this body of believers, for the most part, as many of you that I know, you don't look at people like that. You look at people with potential. You look with people with a way. How can I help you out of that circumstance? In Lamentations 3:22, it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Not just his mercies, but his compassions are my soul. Therefore I hope in him. Now you read this scripture, it's like reading Jeremiah 29:11. You read, God's got this plan and purpose for your life, not to harm you, to bring you hope in the future. But nobody reads the context of it, that they're in bondage for 72 years. Go back and read the context of Lamentations chapter 3, and it's about Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's struggle. Jeremiah has he's done some things. He's in the dark. God has disciplined him, and yet God, it comes down to, I'm going to leave you there. I'm not going to leave you in your sin. I'm going to leave you in your rebellion. I want you to repent so that I can pour out my mercies on you. I can pour out my compassion on you. So wherever you're at this morning, I don't care if you're in rebellion. I don't care if you've stepped away from God or you backslid or whatever it is. God's just saying, repent. My compassion is fresh today. We're going to walk through, this is a 10-point sermon, but each point that Jesus was a God of compassion. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. Say, moved. Moved. He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The first thing I want you to see quickly is that Jesus was moved with compassion to pray. He had compassion. He saw all these people scattered in there. They didn't have a shepherd. And he said, I'm just one man. He was just one person. See, Jesus wasn't omnipresent until he ascended and the Holy Spirit became omnipresent. So he was right there and he's looking at all these people that were scattered. They were weary. He said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He had compassion on them. And so what did he do? He said, we need to pray. Listen, I always say, come Tuesdays at noon if you can possibly be here, because we need to pray. We have prayed and prayed and prayed. Listen, you think you just showed up here? We prayed you in. Somebody's prayed you in. Somebody's prayed you into the kingdom. Somebody's prayed you into your calling. And when he said, call on the Lord of the harvest to send people out into the fields that are wide into harvest. Listen, there is a massive amount of people outside these walls that are hurting today. They may have COVID. They may have lost their job. They may have wandered from the faith. They may have never had faith. They may be in the jails today. They may be in the prisons today. But they're outside these walls. And God is waiting for people to pray that he would send us out into to the harvest field. Because the fields are wide unto harvest. Jesus was moved with compassion to pray. Matthew 14:14. We're moving on. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them. And he healed their sick. Matthew 20:33. They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion. And he touched their eyes. This was the two blind men in Jericho. And immediately their eyes received sight. And they followed him. The second thing is that Jesus was... He hasn't changed. He said, I'm... healing business. Everybody, did you know that came to Jesus to be healed was healed? Compassion. He doesn't want to see us sick. He didn't want to see us have cancer. He didn't want to see us walking through these difficult times. That's the devil's plan. Let's quit saying, oh, God gave me cancer so I could get close to him. That's rubbish. A good God didn't give anybody cancer. He didn't give us any illnesses. The enemy, we have an enemy. We have to recognize it. And listen, when the enemy comes, we have to raise up the standard of Jesus Christ. And we have to look to the cross. Because he said, I've died for all your sicknesses, all your infirmities, all your diseases. Matthew 15:32. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. The third thing, Jesus was moved with compassion to provide. When I think of our food pantry, and I was going down this list of all these things that Jesus was moved to compassion to do. And it looks like, Jesus, that's what you've taught us to do. Because we know what he is, we know who he is, and we know what he's put in us to do. And so he says, listen, he looked out on the masses. There were 10,000 of them, at least 10,000. And they said, the disciples said, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to feed them? He said, well, you feed them. I said, we don't have anything to give them. They said, well, there's a little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Well, that isn't enough. But Jesus said, listen, I can make much out of little. And he desired his compassion. Listen, he loves the poor. He doesn't want you to go hungry physically or spiritually. He wants you to be filled. He wants us to be filled. Mark 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and what? Social distance himself from him? No, he touched him. He touched him. And he said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. The fourth thing I want you to see this morning was Jesus was moved with compassion to cross religious lines or cross religious rules. See, we get so caught up in religion sometimes that we won't do what God's called us to do. I will never forget this. It's etched in my mind. When we had the clarion call, we had pastors from all over our city. We're going to have this clarion call. We're going to fill up the stadium with Christians, and we're going to call the city to pray. And then the word got back as all of these committees, all these groups are organizing this. The word got back that there were certain churches in our city. They didn't want to participate because there were some other religious rules. And so what has the church done? Well, we've judged them. They're not deemed worthy to be in the stadium with us because we are high and mighty Christians. That just sucks to high heaven, doesn't it? Oh my gosh, what has happened to us? And you know, we were all grieved that this church were going, oh no, we can't participate there because there are religious people there. My goodness. Probably it was a good thing they didn't show up because they would have brought religion into the fullness of that whole thing. Ooh, God knew what he was doing. Amen. But listen, we can't let religion separate us from going out and being the church. If they say, well, I'm this or I'm that, I'm of this denomination, please don't look down on them. Oh, well, you're not a spirit-filled church, are you? Oh, well, we're a spirit-filled church. Well, listen, that just reeks when we start comparing ourselves and thinking we're better. Just pray for them. But love them. Love them. Mark 5:18. And when he got into the boat, this is Jesus, he who had been demon-possessed, this was the Gadarene demoniac, begged him that he might be with him. But however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. Now, before we even look at the topic there, I want you to know that Jesus, when you go back and read this story, I love this, it's one of my favorites out of the many. He got in the boat and went across the sea to one person. And he got in the boat and went back. So he was moved with compassion to set somebody free, to see them delivered. Jesus, the fifth point, Jesus was moved with compassion to deliver. He wanted to see this man that had cut himself, that was in chains. He would break the chains. He lived at the cemetery. Good night. Cemetery. I did that last week. Didn't mean to do it this week. He lived at the cemetery. He would cut himself. He was strong, and everybody was afraid of him. And Jesus came and cast the demons out of him. And he said, Jesus, I'm going to go with you. I want to be with you. He said, no, you stay here and you tell people, I'm a God of compassion. And I never forget Max Lucado. He likes to take stories, and I do too. I like to think, what happened after that? How did it look when he showed up back at home? Hey, honey, it's me. Son, go look. There's a man out there. Look kind of like your dad, but I'm not sure. Your dad's crazy, and he lives at the cemetery. And he's all cut up, and he's bruised. He's ugly. Yeah, that couldn't be your dad. That guy looks like he's pretty good shape. Honey, it's me. Jesus had compassion on me. He had compassion on me. I'm home. We got to get to that place, church. See, Jesus could have said, there's a demoniac across the sea. I don't have time to go mess with him. There's no hope for him. He's a lost cause. Listen, with Jesus, there are no lost causes. I love it that he got in the boat and said, there's a man over there. And once that man got saved and put in his right mind, you know what he did? He sent him to all these cities to tell about the compassion and the love of Christ. Prepare the way for future evangelists to go into those areas. That's what he's doing with us today. He's preparing us. That's why we have Liberation Night. That's when we have Liberation Night. Listen, I know it's like a wild rodeo sometimes in here. It is. Out of gate number three comes somebody bucking and screaming and shouting. And out of gate number two comes somebody throwing up. And out of gate number one comes, you know, and here comes the clowns, you know. It's like a rodeo in here. And it's not very comfortable. It's not very, you know, if you like sanitary church, don't come on Liberation Night. But if you want to see somebody get set free from addiction or a marriage restored, or somebody walk out of an addiction to whatever, name the addiction and see God set them free, then you might want to hook up and find out about it on rodeo night. That's a good term. We need to change it from liberation to the rodeo. Here we have lassos. Wear your boots. Yeah, high boots. Luke 7. I'm already halfway through. And when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Amen. Said her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin. He's breaking religious rules there. And those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Jesus was moved with compassion to raise the dead. I like what Bill Johnson said. He said, Jesus messed up every funeral he ever attended, even his own. Everyone, if you ever read the scripture, every time there's a dead person, Jesus said, wake up. Well, darn it, you know, messed up a good funeral. But he came to raise the dead. You were dead. I was dead. The Bible says we were dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses, dead in our transgressions, whatever you want to call that word. We were dead. We were dead men walking, dead women walking. Listen, until Jesus came in, we were lifeless. When he came in, he gave us life. He gave us life. Luke 10:32. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. You know, we know this story is the story of the Good Samaritan. They said, what must we do to have eternal life? And he said, you know, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor yourself. He said, well, who's my neighbor? And then he began to tell this story. This is Jesus telling this story. So this is Jesus talking about who we should be if we're going to be a Good Samaritan. And see, here's the thing. Jesus was moved with compassion to cross racial barriers. We talk about the race issue all the time, don't we? It's in the news all the time. And here Jesus was giving the examples. The Samaritans and Jews did not like each other. Man, they were just like, they were fighting each other. They hated each other. There was an animosity. And yet here the Levite, the priest walks by, the Jew that's in the ditch, and he just passes him by. But here along comes a Samaritan, that's not supposed to care about this person in the ditch, and takes care of this person, gets him up, bandages his wounds, takes him to a hotel, gets him a room, says and leaves money for them, and says, "I'll come back and I'll check, and if there's any money that's due, I will pay that." In other words, he was crossing racial barriers because he had compassion. Compassion. Jesus crossed the, he's telling a story here, but he went into a village where a Samaritan woman was. He wasn't even supposed to talk to her. And he told her whole history. And he caused her to come and find him. Then he caused the whole village to come and find him because he had compassion. He's not willing that any should perish. The cross was a cross of compassion. Luke 15, but when, somebody get me a Kleenex. I need a clean, these are, here we go. Where's my Kleenex bearer? I've heard of armor bearers. Kleenex bearers. Okay. Prodigal son. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you.'" He had all made up what he was going to say. He said, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, and make me like one of your hired servants." I mean, he was really going to pour it on his dad. And he arose and he came to his father, but he was still a great way off, and his father saw him and what? Had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I love that story. I love that story because I can see the Father. See, there's a song that came out many years ago called "When God Ran." And this is the picture, God the Father running. It's like he's walking out every day. Where is my son? When is my son coming home? When is my son coming home? And he would walk out on the front porch and look. Maybe he had some binoculars. I don't know. But he was looking for his son to come home. And one day he saw a little figure coming over the horizon. He said, "That's my son. I know how he walks. I know exactly who that is." And he took off running. Because he had compassion. And I love the picture of this. I can just see him tackling his son. His son's probably going, "Oh, my dad's about to kill me," you know. And he just jumps on and they're rolling that old dirt, you know. And he's just kissing him on the neck. "My son's home. My son's home." He once was blind, but now he can see. He was lost, but now he's found. Because God has compassion on us. He's calling the prodigals home. Listen, when we call them, we have to call them. We have to verbally say, "Bring my son, bring my daughter back." Because of compassion. We don't just go, "Well, God, what's going to happen to him?" No, we start interceding and we pray and we believe and we trust and we love and we love and we love and we love and we forgive. Jesus was moved with compassion to forgive. See, his son didn't, he had the speech already, and God, and the dad said, "Man, son, you don't have to tell me all that. Just you coming here is enough. I forgive you. I forgive you." See, the church, we need to be the most forgiving people in the world. But somehow offense comes in. Somehow we get our feelings hurt. So-and-so didn't look at me right, the pastor didn't say the right thing to me, or that sermon offended me, or that this or that, or you know, whatever we come up with, and we say, "Well, I'm offended, I'm not going to forgive them, I'll show them." And all that shows, when you don't forgive somebody, all that hurts, the only person that hurts is you. Bitterness starts welling up in you. Guile starts welling up in you. And that's why Jesus said, when they said, "How many times do I forgive my brother?" 7 times. And he said, "No, 7 times 70, which meant forever. And that's in a day. That's in a day. He was making a point. No, we have no option but to forgive the way God forgave us. Almost done. Hebrews 4, 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest," that's Jesus, "who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Number 9 is Jesus was moved with compassion to pour out his mercy and his grace. He was moved with compassion. He said, "Listen, They don't even have a clue, but I know what they're going through. I wrote a song. It's kind of a country song, a country gospel song many years ago, and the title of it was, He Knows What It's Like. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to go hungry. He knows what it's like. Listen, he's been through every temptation that we've been tempted with, and yet he didn't sin, but he knows what we're faced with. And that's why he has compassion, and that's why he forgives. That's why he gives us mercy every day, new grace every day, every day. And that's why the compassion keeps getting poured out from our Savior, because he understands. Next time you go, well, God, you just wouldn't understand. Listen, that's just laughable, because he goes, his word says right here, he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be crucified. He knows what it's like to be spat upon. He knows what it's like to be stabbed in the side with a spear. But most of all, he knows what it's like to be rejected. You see, millions and millions of people will never receive Jesus Christ. They've already died. They've already gone. They've already passed on. They rejected his salvation. You don't think that hurts? We get our little rejection hit us. They didn't look at me. They didn't talk to me. And we get all up in arms about being rejected. And Jesus said, listen, you don't even know rejection until you hung on a cross. And you looked out and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what you're doing. He knows it. So the next time you feel rejected, take it to the cross. Take it to the cross. Now the last thing is, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling or for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Number 10 is Jesus was moved with compassion because of L-O-V-E. Because of his love. See, because of his love, he moved. He didn't just look. He didn't just see it from a distance. He got involved with everybody's life. He was moved with compassion. And that same compassion that Jesus has been imparted to you. Say, it's been imparted to me. Say, I have compassion because I got Jesus. See, some people, I'm not very compassionate with, then you need to get more Jesus. You need to allow him. You need to yield some area of your life of pride or judgment, being judgmental, or whatever it is, anger, hatred, you name it, whatever you've allowed to come in there that's pushed compassion out to the window or out to the side, you need to yield your body, you need to yield your soulish realm to the plan and purpose of God, which is compassion and love. 1 John 3:17 from the Amplified says, but if anyone has this world's goods, resources for sustaining life, and sees his brother and fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him? It's the love of God that reaches out to those people, to people that are in need. It's the love of Christ. And we are an extension of that love. We are an extension of Jesus. I want to close with this, a couple of passages. 2 Corinthians 1, many of you have heard this, but I want to really hone in on this as we close this morning. All praises belong to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. Say endless comfort. Endless comfort. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. I think you know where I'm going with this. We can bring them this same comfort that God has poured out upon us. And just as we experience the abundance of Christ's own sufferings, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us through our union with Christ. Simply put, this means whatever you've been going through and God's brought you through it, then God's going to put somebody in your path and you can take them through it too. See, don't let your trial and your tribulation go to waste. See, that would be the enemy's plan. Just to push you down and put his foot on your head and kick you to the curb and you just wallow over there in your self-pity and all that. That is not what it's about. That's not what it's about. He says, whatever the enemy's done to you, God will redeem you from that. Yes. Amen? Amen? He will redeem you from that. Well, if he's redeemed you from that, then he's calling you to redeem somebody else from that. Amen. See, I can't go up and I can't empathize with a drug addict. I've never been a drug addict. But I know people in here, they can go and you can sit down by somebody and say, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I used to have this habit, and you can tell them all the ugly stuff you want to, trying to get their attention, but you have to get to the place of saying, but God, the compassion of God, the compassion of God, the love of God, the healing power of God restored me and set me free, and he can do the same for you. Listen, I do know what it's like to be separated. I do know what it's like when a marriage is on the rocks. I know, and I can sit down and I can talk to couples. When I do marriage counseling or premarital counseling, I can share with them because I can tell them God can bring you through that. He can restore your marriage. Amen. Crowd mics, are they working? What has he brought you? Think about it right this minute. What has he brought you through that you're supposed to help somebody else get through? See, religion will tell you, well, they don't need to know that about me. I've been really a good person. And if I were to tell them that I was involved in fill in the blank, then they might think less of me. No, they won't think less of you. They will think less of you. They really care about me. They're going to open up their heart. They've been through that and God delivered them. You mean he did that for y'all? Then you mean there's a possibility that he can do that for me? Yes, because God's no respecter of persons. Right? So what has he brought you through? Think about it this morning. What? Some of you got a long list of things he's brought you through. All of us pretty much have a long list of things he's brought us through. So if he's brought you through it, then what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to come alongside somebody else. Because you have the compassion of Christ in you. Amen. When you chose Jesus, you chose to walk in compassion. When you chose Jesus, when you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to his love, to his forgiveness, to his compassion, to his mercy. That's his DNA, and it's in us. I like what George Washington Carver said. This is in relation to that last verse I just read you in Corinthians. He says, how far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, tolerant of the weak and the strong. Because someday in your life, you will have been all of these. Did you hear me? Did you hear what he said? We're going to go through all those stages in our life. And we're going to need some compassion along the way. We're going to need some forgiveness along the way. Because with that comes hope. With that comes hope. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. Would you stand this morning?